God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his finger. He didn't wink his eye. The Lord spoke us into creation. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world. And remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. We made a commitment on the program when we began to not always be driven by the news cycle. Because part of the design of the news cycle is to drive us away from news. Sadly, that's been the case for a long time. Take up all the oxygen in the room, particularly during an election season, flood the zone, they say. And so we fund both sides of a war. And all the topics should be about war. Or we put a president, former president, on trial, and all the topics should be about the president on trial in an unprecedented case. And it is all that. It's unprecedented. Sometimes there's focus on entertainment. Nearly every network, including Fox, has determined that it's vital that you understand what's his name from the Kansas City Chief who's dating what's her name, the singer. Vital information for the American people. Suck up all the oxygen, flood the zone. So that we do not pay attention to actual news. Oh, Republicans do it too. I think we've talked about, and if we haven't, we'll talk more about the hearing in Washington, D.C., where they put Mark Zuckerberg on the stand. Man, it was fun theater. Really fun to watch a guy who rigged an election or helped rig it, Mark Zuckerberg, and he obviously helped rig the election, to see him sweat a little bit. It's fun TV. And there it ends. Flooding the zone. Look what the Republicans are doing. They're going after Mark Zuckerberg. Well, we're not always going to play that game here. We'll report on important stories. We'll analyze them and try to put God's word at the center when I get out of my own way and let God do that. And we're going to talk about news because there are some topics that are verboten, such as this. Yeah, it made the Tribune News Service, meaning that it always does. If you're a newspaper, you submit your stuff to the Tribune News Service. This comes out of the state of Florida, Fort Lauderdale. More than a year after the Florida Supreme Court granted Governor Ron DeSantis' request to impanel a statewide grand jury to investigate, quote, criminal or wrongful activity related to the COVID-19 so-called vaccines, the body released its first report and said its probe is nowhere near complete. Their 33-page report released Friday said lockdowns were not a good trade and that we have never found sound evidence of mask effectiveness against SARS-CoV-2 transmission, among other conclusions. In a way, this grand jury has allowed us to do something most Americans simply don't have the time, access, or wherewithal to do, follow the science, the report said. So, among the conclusions of the report thus far are that people who were subjected to the most strict lockdowns saw the most cases of COVID and saw the biggest increases in all-cause mortality. Now, how could that be? Because of this, lockdowns kill people. Lockdowns are the very thing that stop you from doing the very things that would help you fight a respiratory virus, like getting vitamin D. Because vitamin D deficiencies are one of the chief contributing factors to people who actually fall victim to the COVID flu, which was probably made using your tax dollars. Getting fresh air when you're suffering from a respiratory virus is far better than rebreathing the virus every time you inhale in your home. And because people who masked and put up with lockdowns were more likely to get injected, you're going to see this increase in all-cause mortality. Some other conclusions. Social distancing is not nearly as important as to whether they're in an interior or exterior environment, whether that environment's subject to adequate airflow. Information, they said, still missing from the CDC's social distancing guidelines. No, the CDC's admitted. And Fauci's admitted that they made it up. They admitted it. Totally made up. Some other conclusions. Mask mandates, social distancing guidelines, and shutdowns were not administered based upon scientific data, valuable scientific data. In fact, many public health recommendations and their attendant mandates departed significantly from scientific research. Now, of course, the media had to reach out to a guy like Kenneth Goodman, the founder and director of the University of Miami's School of Medicine's Institute for Bioethics and Health Policy. He said the report raises questions about which professionals the grand jury spoke with and how those professionals were vetted. Using the language of science to promote mysticism is particularly egregious, Goodman said. What mysticism? These are plain facts. The CDC has known forever that masks don't work. Their own report released in March of 2020 was one of the biggest studies of the use of masks in history. It's a meta-analysis of, I believe, 6 or 8 actual clinical tests, actually having people with confirmed influenza with each other in rooms and apartments, and in fact, on a trip to Mecca, and they actually observed real human beings, some of them wearing masks, some not, and they came back and said, masks do not inhibit the flow of respiratory viruses. So Kenneth Goodman has apparently decided to not read that. The reason I'm providing this to you is because most people will not. After all, COVID's old news. We've got 2 wars to deal with. Plus, didn't you know? Joe Biden won South Carolina. He really did. There's a Joe Biden phenomena. People are waking up. The enthusiasm. This all matters so much. Only look at this, because this politician's going to save America. No, God Almighty might. God Almighty would like to save souls. He'd like to work through us to do that. And if that saves America, I'm sure God would be fine with that. Fine with it, because his preference would be to save souls. It's harder to save souls when people are dying early, and they are. This is another piece of COVID news I'm certain you haven't heard. This comes from Slay News. It's yet another study, another one, showing a direct link between the COVID mRNA injections, the modified RNA, and cancer. So the COVID spikes that your body is forced to produce when you're injected with the mRNA, which is a gene sequencing device, it causes your body to produce cells that can become cancer. How? The probable mechanism is it forces your body to create junk proteins, in other words, parts of your body growing junk that shouldn't be there, in other words, cancer, from Slay News. This groundbreaking study found direct links between the injections and cases of so-called vaccine-acquired immunodeficiency, VAIDS it's called, various types of cancer, heart failure, and brain disorders. This is not the first report to show this. The study's paper was reported by Thailand's leading English-language corporate media outlet, the Bangkok Post. The researchers found that people who received multiple COVID injections, in other words, a double dose of the mRNA shots from Pfizer and BioNTech, followed by a so-called booster, can suffer all sorts of health horrors, particularly resulting in sudden and early death. Despite the study being ignored by global media corporations, the Bangkok Post published the report for its roughly 16.7 million viewers, readers. But you didn't get to see it. This isn't discussed. The all-cause mortality increases in frightening numbers isn't discussed. These things are not to be discussed. Well, after all, Nikki Haley, I mean, she's really taking on President Trump. She's taking the fight to him. Plus, Kamala Harris is going on a pro-abortion tour, and we should probably check back in to see what that guy with the Kansas City Chiefs is. Is he going to propose to Taylor Swift? Maybe he'll do it at the Super Bowl. Maybe if the Chiefs win, when they come to whatever his name is and ask this guy who's paid $20 million by Pfizer to promote the shots, maybe the cameras will go to him and say, "You just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do next?" Well, I'm glad you asked. Because I've been allowed to live because of the COVID vaccines, I'm going to ask Taylor to marry me. Taylor, I'm only alive because of the vaccines. Will you marry me? Or we could go back out to the international media and see what's being covered there, because it's not covered here. Professor Ian Brighthope was asked a question during a testimony in the Australian House. Australia is doing more to look in to the effects of the COVID injections than our country. Australia, that became a prison planet or a prison island. Listen to this discussion.
Right, hey. This vaccine, if you can call it a vaccine, is a new technology applied to almost the entire global population without showing adequate levels of efficacy and safety. And in fact, my first reaction when I heard it was going to be a vaccine, the mRNA, was, no, this is too dangerous. When you hear about being wrapped up in a lipid nanoparticle, we know it's not going to stay in the deltoid muscle. It would never stay in the deltoid muscle, as we were promised. It travels all around the body. It travels to the brain, to the heart, to the blood vessels, travels to the testes and the ovaries. And this is why we're seeing so many people suffering from serious adverse reactions, including a lot of heart disease, degenerative central nervous system type disorders, autoimmune diseases, and certainly many, many problems, gynecological problems, female problems. This also contains DNA fragments, and DNA and mRNA can transcribe and end up in the nucleus of our cells, including our germ cells. This is so risky. It should never have been injected into a single human being ever.
And this is a fact. Anyone who is a cancer doc, anyone who works as a cancer doctor, knew from the moment they heard lipid nanoparticle, which is what these gene sequencing devices are wrapped in. Why? Because it's a fatty. It's a fatty substance that allows the internal code that hijacks your genes. It allows it to bypass your body's immune system. Otherwise, your body would say, there's no chance we're going to let mRNA into our body. Certainly, we're not going to let foreign DNA into our body. So they wrap it in lipid nanoparticles. Anyone who's a cancer doc knew that this was going to go throughout the body. Why? Because lipid nanoparticles are used in end-stage cancer patients to let chemotherapy go throughout the body. So when this was announced, it was known. The reason I will from time to time do a monologue, even in the first hour of the program, on the COVID injections is because it's continuing to kill people, but more importantly, because they intend to do it again. It's really vital for us to understand something. There are people who state right out loud, there are 7.5 billion too many people. Right out loud, they say it. Right out loud, they practice abortion at all costs. Right out loud. The Canadian health minister has changed the phrase euthanasia to relief. Right in front of us, Canadian so-called doctors are offering to kill teen girls, 17 and 18 years old, who've determined that life never gets better. Okay, how about some relief in the form of death before you meet the Lord Jesus, before you can come to him? Right in front of us, we're watched a program that has resulted in, whether or not it was on purpose, no one can prove, but it has resulted in fewer pregnancies, greater miscarriages, inability to keep babies. It's resulting in turbo cancers. It's resulting in young kids dropping dead upon waking up. It's resulting in the highest increases in all-cause mortality in mass injection countries in history. And you're watching the media tell you about a football player and his rock star girlfriend, or Nikki Haley, South Carolina is going to turn it around, or this time they've got Trump, the walls are closing in, or Joe Biden fever sweeping the country. Yes, this election is important. I will vote in it, but I will not fool myself into thinking that any candidate is going to save us from that level of evil. Only God Almighty can do that. We'll come back on The Disciples View with news for black men. They may not be the people they think they are.
Music.
I'm sure we all remember the safe and rare abortions, right? Why do I bring that up? Well, it's not actually to talk about abortion. And welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We're told to love our neighbor, Lord Jesus, love our neighbor as ourselves. By this, people will know that we follow Jesus. And when I think of the phrase safe and rare, safe but rare, I think they said about abortions, I think about all the other phrases that the world has co-opted and changed and the means of which they've erased. And I think of the push to erase any and all boundaries. In fact, to push people into doing things sexually that they don't want to do through guilt. This may sound bizarre, but as someone who has tracked the lie of transgenderism for 8 years, 8 or 9 years, and has delved into the worst possible corners of this, the John Money corners of this, the Kinsley corners of this, the satanic nature of this, the fact that the early practitioners of sexual freedom on an academic level were themselves pedophiles, and actively so. To trace the roots back to the lies of this is to, well, warn you about things that are going on in the corners of the world that most people are unaware. Well, they're unaware the corners exist. And I don't do this to titillate or to be pointlessly blunt, and I'll try not to be. But it was 6 or 7 years ago that I had a woman on my program, radio program in Seattle back in the day. And she is a same-sex attracted woman. She's lived that way her entire life. She has no intention of changing. She was one of the first women to be to come out, as it were, after Bill Clinton had his decision to ban the military from removing members who were practicing same-sex attraction. And she was a smart lady. She was a brave lady. She served and disagreed with her, obviously, on practicing same-sex unions. And that's okay. We disagreed. You know what she taught me about? A very rare case that was happening in San Francisco where a female dating club. So this was a dating club for women who prefer to have their relationships with women. And a man came along and demanded entry into the club. And they said, you're a dude. And he said, no, I'm a trans woman and trans women are women. And he demanded entry and in fact pursued a lawsuit. This woman shared with me the fact that there were women who had actually had sexual relations with men who didn't want to. But they'd been convinced, of course, that these men were women. And afterwards, those women felt like they were raped. Again, I don't mean to be blunt for blunt's sake. I mean to explain to you something that began in those dark recesses of the separate country of California and the very separate city therein called San Francisco. Well, that has spread. This is the pressure to force people to have sex with people they'd rather not. It's most profoundly present in our schools, where those barriers are being erased beginning in kindergarten. You get to decide what sex you are because gender's a lie. They mean sex. And of course, by elementary school and junior high, blurring all lines. My wife and I were in Spokane, Washington. Spokane is about 300 miles east of Seattle. It's far more conservative. But we were downtown, went to a vegan place to meet our daughter, and we came across a bar. And that bar was peopled, staffed by men pretending to be women. They're called drag queens. And a sign above that door to the bar said, "Resist everything but temptation." Resist everything but temptation. The reason I chose to speak about this morning is a headline in a publication designed for black people called The Root. Here's the headline. Straight black men are the white people of black people. It feels counterintuitive to suggest that straight black men as a whole possess any sort of privilege. They are now splitting black men along the lines of those people who will have sex with other men and those people who won't. Well, that's always been a line that exists, but you can see the tone of this is if a black man will not have sex with another black man, then that black man is an oppressor. He's no better than a white man. The roots of Marxism, and this is social Marxism, this is simply sexual Marxism, just as the way all the deconstructionist Marxist theories work, all come from Karl Marx, who himself said that one day he would be greater than God. In poetry, he wrote of his hatred of God. Karl Marx was fully satanic, and his ideas are fully divisive and fully designed to be divisive and get right down to destroying families based upon these division lines. Your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids are going to face a world where they are told, unless you will have sex with anybody who wants to have sex with you, then you're a hater. Then you are a divider, you're a conqueror, you're an oppressor. There can't be anything worse than taking the body God gave you and saying it belongs to everybody but you and God. And this is a serious article. This crosses over from lines like this into lines in sports. Now, we know about this. Clearly, it has finally become common knowledge after so many of us have been paying attention to this for the past 6, 7, 8, 9 years. It's become common knowledge that there are men who cheat to play women's sports and to beat women. Thank God, and I mean it, thank you, Lord Almighty, for bringing this about so people have this knowledge so they can act upon this. Here's what's less common knowledge. In Newcastle, this is from England, there is a fan of soccer who has been banned from attending games. This came from the Telegraph. And it is about a woman named Lindsay Smith. Okay, Lindsay Smith is a same-sex attracted soccer fan. So she goes to the games. She is spied upon. She's spied on by soccer spies to see if she should even be allowed to attend the games. Now, again, she's not a player. She is someone who enjoys watching the games and has found herself now no longer allowed to watch the games because she holds views, terrible views. She has views that are literally Hitler, such as sex is real and men are not women. So there's a free speech union, this is in England, trying to once again bring free speech back to England. And they talked about the Stadium Stasi, they call them.
If you think the Premier League isn't interested in the political views of football fans, think again. We've discovered there's a secret intelligence agency embedded in the Premier League whose job it is to spy on football fans, to monitor their social media accounts, to find out if they're engaging in wrongthink. And if they are, that agency passes on that information to Premier League clubs, and those fans can find themselves banned from the stadiums. This is the story of the Stadium Stasi.
The Stadium Stasi, it's a good word. And Lindsay Smith talked about being banned by the Premier League for, it's not her political views. That's how they describe it, her political views. It's because she understands that biology is real and that there are men and there are women and that men don't get to be women.
So when did you find out that Newcastle had placed you under investigation?
It was the 1st of November. There was an email from the security complaints saying that I was under investigation for a hate crime. And for that reason, I'd had to suspend my membership. So.
And when did you find out exactly what this hate crime was that you'd supposedly committed?
And eventually they gave in and said, sent me an email saying that I'd posted on social media things that could be seen as transphobic. So that was pretty much all I got, you know.
But what you'd said wasn't what people would normally consider hate speech, let alone a hate crime. You'd said things like you didn't think trans women were women, you didn't think if you were born with a penis that you could self-identify or become a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much. I said, trans women are men. And I said, I'll be able to say I never stood by that and never accepted it. And that's another one I was questioned for, so.
Given that you hadn't said anything that would normally be classed as hate speech, presumably you thought that it'll be cleared up and it'll just go away. But what actually happened?
I was banned for the rest of this season and the next two, so.
So just to be clear, because you expressed your gender critical beliefs on Twitter, Newcastle has banned you for the rest of this season and for two more seasons.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that?
Devastated.
So the social credit system, and that's what this is here now. It exists now. It's being done largely on social media. If you have bad think, you're banned. Or in my case, in Twitter, less than about 1% of people who, quote, follow my account see me. The other day, I posted something personal. This was, gosh, 3 months ago, a picture of my daughter. And that was apparently seen, a picture my daughter drew. And that was deemed safe. And it got all sorts of circulation. And I had people on my Twitter account saying, oh, my gosh, you still tweet? I thought you quit Twitter for good. And oh, my gosh, you have new radio shows. And wow, I missed you. Well, they hadn't seen that because Twitter won't allow them to see me. Because I, of course, know that men are not women. But the social credit system is, they've made serious attempts to push this down into banking in our country. You can be considered a credit risk. This is what they're trying to install. You can be considered a risky person to whom to give a loan if you have bad, quote, political views, because people might protest you. So Lindsay Smith, who was banned from attending soccer games, talked a bit about this sort of shady surveillance that the Premier League, again, this is a soccer league, has been doing in England.
And one of the really shocking aspects of your case is that you got back a cache of documents, including quite a big file that had been compiled on you by some shadowy spy agency connected to the Premier League, which had an extraordinary amount of detail about your life in it. Just tell me about that and how you reacted to that.
That just had me sick to my stomach. And to be fair, I didn't even see that immediately, because when I originally got it back, it was the emails I was interested in. So it wasn't until a few days later I actually looked through the rest of it and I saw that Premier League report. And they basically referred to me as a target. They've tried to find my identity. They've tried to find where I live. They even went as far as to get screenshots off my Twitter. They searched in the search bar, I live, to find anywhere I've said where I live. Took images of me where I used to walk my dog behind my house. Got Google images of the church there and the park that's there. I mean, it's horrible. Find, like, saying I've got ties to Whitley Bay because I work down there. I just don't see what any of that has to do with any of it. And I don't know who's seeing that information, you know? Like, I only live down the road. It's really quite frightening because I don't know who's seen it now. I don't know who knows where I live or knows where I walk around, you know? Anyone could be waiting there.
And she's right. Anyone could, and that's the point. That's the point. The point of the surveillance, and well, first of all, is to kick her out, to punish her. You don't get to know that men are not women. And I mean it. You don't get to know that. You don't get to believe it, meaning you don't get to know it. But the point of releasing where she lives is so that people can harass her and threaten her. Now, you see, this extends beyond gender and sex and the attempt to force adult black men to have sex with other adult black men. Can you think of something more satanic than controlling the sex lives of others and saying your body belongs to all people but you, and it certainly doesn't belong to God? It extends into hating your neighbor in different ways. This is a guy from Media Matters for America. Media Matters is a it's an organization that exists to monitor shows like mine, the one that God has given me to steward, and those like others on this network, largely conservatives or Christians. And their job is to try to get us kicked off the air. They took a big swing at trying to get Rush Limbaugh kicked off the air, and they missed. But they tried very hard. So this guy works for Media Matters for America. His name is Matthew Gertz. And he wrote this: probably not good policy for seniors to have tax advantages to remain in large single-family homes. So he's talking about millennials have the children, but boomers have the houses. The top 10 U.S. metro areas where empty nester baby boomers own the highest share of large homes, along with the share owned by millennials with children. And he points to Pittsburgh, 32% older people owning homes, millennials only 13%. And there's cities like Birmingham, Alabama, Cleveland, Virginia Beach, etc. So to be clear, it is the opinion of a man whose job it is to get people kicked off radio shows and television shows that older Americans should be taxed out of their homes because, well, fairness. Isn't there something or another in the Bible about coveting? I can't say this clearly enough. Satan is building his political empire. He's using intersectional politics. This is dividing and conquering in the old way of speaking of it, intersectional allies in the new way of speaking of it. This is what he's building. He'll have his political party, and of course, one day will come the lawless one. And hey, look, they're already practicing lawlessness, almost as if to pave the way. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Listening to Disciples View, I'm Todd Herman. You can get the archives of this program at afr.net, archives of many of the programs, if not all of them, that run here. And on behalf of everybody, I know this because I've gotten to know the team. Everybody thanks you for making the decision to financially support AFR. Everybody does. We have an audience of one, that's God Almighty, and a family of many, and that's you. So thank you again for making us very difficult to cancel and doing something else. Because of the nature of radio, you provide the opportunity for people to accidentally hear the word of God. I just love the idea of people jumping into a rental car and the radio's on and they're busy and it's to one of the AFR affiliates, one of the 180 so around the country. And they jump in and maybe they're listening to us discuss news, and then comes God's word. And they may not even be aware of it. It's you know, they're listening to the stories. No, they're talking a bit about God. And the fantastic thing is God's word never returns void. But it also affords you an opportunity through your money, your investment in this, your support of AFR, to have incidents like this, where there are people who have no idea to this moment, the incredible harm that's been done by the COVID, well, the COVID flu, probably invented in China, almost certainly using your tax dollars. And the flow of the money went from the Department of Defense to Tony Fauci to the Wuhan lab in China until Barack Obama said, you don't get to do that anymore. After which Fauci just added a step. The money went from the Department of Defense to Tony Fauci's organization to academics and then to the Wuhan lab. So he could say, well, we've obeyed that order, Mr. President. So people are unaware of what has been done to the medical world and the people who work within it. And by the way, praise God for the parsing. Truly, praise God for the parsing of people who will do whatever the state says on one side. Those are the people who continue to happily take the orders of the CDC and the FDA, which are both pharmaceutical companies, and people who don't. And people who are questioning, who are still working in mainstream hospitals, but questioning. God bless you for that, and thank God for making that possible. This is a nurse who lost her job because she asked, hey, who's going to report this damage we're seeing in children, this myocarditis, who's going to report this to the VARS database?
I took care of those children who came in with myocarditis after the vaccine. And I talked to the doctors because I was a charge nurse saying, why aren't we reporting these to VARS? who is going to report these to VAERS? It was an unspoken thing that we were not allowed to talk about openly on the unit. I've worked for 13 years in this community, taking care of some of the sickest patients. The day before I was taken away from my position, I was actively giving compressions to a child, pushing Abby, pushing calcium into his veins to keep him alive. And we did. And he went home. And yet, I was ridiculed by those who are supposed to be my colleagues and my friends.
The incalculable harm that's been done to the human body and will continue to be done because of these injections. There is only one level of trial that belongs, and that is a Nuremberg-style trial. I know that sounds bizarre, but they injected people having given them zero informed information. There has been no informed consent. No one in America got informed consent when they were injected. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature we call the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Tower Babbling is three sound bites, usually three, sometimes two, sometimes four, but usually three. Rules of threes and fives, rhetorically. Those who know, know. And it contends to show that God is placing supposedly wise people on these stages so that we can look up and say, wow, you know, they're actually not that smart. That's obviously because they have departed the one true wisdom, and that is God's word. This is a school union in Massachusetts. Okay, so it's not, I mean, it's members of a school union. And they're striking, and there's some kids who want to be heard. They want their voices heard, but in order to make sure the kids' voices are properly heard, the teachers shut the kids up.
I'm no longer my academic goals, and I am working hard not just to pass, but to excel in that. I have plans for my college, and like, and the strike is seriously risking my progress. And for one of the key aspects of that kid,
and the teachers get closer and closer. And now they begin yelling around her. They don't want the voices of a reasonable student simply explaining, hey, this is my academic career. Can't have those voices heard. This is a CNN reporter who finds herself very suddenly being interviewed by reality. Her name is Erica Hill. And she's, again, with CNN.
So what the detectives are telling me is they have crews here that operate in New York, do all their stealing, then go to Florida to spend the money, and then come back. And I'm like, well, why don't they just stay and steal in Florida? And they said, because there you go to jail.
Oh. Great report. Keep us posted on this.
Oh, wow. Is that why? It's funny, you know, we live in the high mountains of free America in Idaho, and across the border is the separate country of Washington State. And if you want to play a fun game sometime, we do. It's a fun game. You pull open the crime statistics and the burglary statistics, and you actually look across the border. You know, at one point, there's a little corner of Washington State that's quite near us. If I decided to hike our mountains, I could hike over the mountain pretty quickly into Washington State. And right over there, crimes like burglaries, carjackings, assaults, smash and grab. Smash and grab is not that common in Eastern Washington, but the other stuff is 30 to 40% higher. And there is, in fact, knowledge among criminals that if you're being chased by the Washington cops, you don't have to pull over. You don't. If you're in a high-speed chase or you're refusing to pull over, they have to stop chasing you. Want to know one of the things that we call spoke criminals? And that's a terrible thing because most people from Spokane are not criminals. Spokane is a city near us in Washington. they won't cross over into the Idaho border. Well, because the Idaho cops will stop you. You will be arrested. You will face jail time. During the summer, our sheriff pays for ads online and in papers, etc., on radio, reminding criminals in the separate country of Washington, don't bring your drugs to the Idaho Lakes. You will go to prison. It's amazing. God is a God of order, a God of law and order, and compassion, and free will. And we live next to a lawless state that is also godless. Last clip in today's Tower Babbling. Congressman Dan Crenshaw is one of the top abusers of insider trading in Congress. One of the very best at making what should be illegal profits based off of his inside knowledge of what Congress is going to do for some companies and do to others. He wanted to pass an immigration scheme into law that would allow 2 million illegal immigrants per year to enter.
The height of stupidity is having a strong opinion on something you know nothing about. I'm extremely disappointed in the very strange maneuvering by many on the right to torpedo a potential border reform bill. If we have a bill that, on net, significantly decreases illegal immigration, and we sabotage that, that is inconsistent with what we told our voters we would do. People will make up whatever reasons they want to. There's a number of them, I'm sure. But it would be a pretty unacceptable dereliction of your duty.
Here's the reason, Dan. And if you could just move away from your trading for a second, trading stocks based on insider knowledge. The reason is because you're not going to come up with another bill that said, you know what, we're just going to significantly reduce bank robberies. We're not going to make it illegal. I mean, in fact, we're going to legalize some bank robberies. After all, these are desperate people trying to help their families. We're going to legalize certain cases where people decide to steal someone's home or they're on vacation. After all, these are people trying to better their families. The reason is because we want zero illegal immigration. That's not possible, but it's certainly much more possible if you have laws that contend to and attempt to do that versus some that say, yeah, 2 million a year is fine. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Wouldn't it be nice if she left it there from time to time? I would find that really nice. We wrap this show up with a personal observation from me. Sometimes something in current events, sometimes, or in current life, sometimes memories from the past. And I do that because it's a fair trade. It's a way for you to know a little bit about the rodeo clown who hosts the program, since you're so kind to spend this time with us. And this past weekend, my wife and I took a rare retreat and went into the world. No, we did not become of it. But on that retreat, we got to spend some time as a couple that I believe was overdue. And my wife doesn't care for me talking about the marriage on the air, and so I won't. I will just state this about the place we went. We went down to a city, Spokane. And I'm a guy who has long preferred to live in the mountains. When we moved to the separate country of Washington, we moved pretty high up. We have neighbors. They don't want to have you think we're in some Kaczynski cabin where it's nothing like that. We have neighbors, but very few of them. We live in a town of about 600 people. We know, or at least I do, I know probably in the houses next to us, I probably know people in the 10 houses next to us, and I know them, what they do for a living. I go out and recreate with some of them and hang out with some of them. And so that's new. But there was this isolation that we sought, at least I did. And the isolation was part protection. There are a lot of traumatized families from the separate countries. We were one of them. When you have faced an insane mental health system that seeks to make your kids crazier, and that is exactly the case in the separate country of Washington, you're going to end up with a lot of traumatized families. I didn't want to be anywhere near that world. And we just went to that world. Not Western Washington, which is completely fallen. Yes, God's people are there. There are still brave people choosing to fight and stay. I admire that. And it is fallen. It is gone. Eastern Washington is not yet there. And I was reminded of some things about living in the city. Simple thing. Absolutely simple. I made a habit of getting my wife coffee in the morning. She sleeps in a little bit later than me, sometimes much later. I'm years of morning radio has programmed my body to wake up at 4:30 or 5 a.m. no matter what. So I'm up, I'm in the gym, or I'm running, or I'm doing what I can do. So I made this habit of stopping by a particular coffee place. We found it on the first day. And I don't normally drink coffee other than Bone Frog, which is a sponsor of my podcast. But I didn't have Bone Frog. So I stopped by this coffee shop. Here's the thing. Because I stopped by that coffee shop 3 days in a row, I had the opportunity 3 days in a row to ask a young man a couple of questions. First day, it was very simply this. May I see the back of your shirt? Had an interesting shirt on. And I read it. And it was a cool shirt. The next day, simple question. Wow, they work you a lot of hours. You must be pretty valuable. Smile. Well, I guess so. Well, thanks for saying that. Well, you certainly do a great job here. Third question. Does your family live around here? No, you know, I moved here and I go to college and, you know, I kind of miss my family. Oh, family's important, isn't it? And then he asked me this. Do you live here? I said, no, we're visiting. I said, in fact, I'm just getting ready to go back to the hotel and just watch our church service online because I miss our church. It's sort of our family. And he got a look in his eye. He said, my dad does that. Watches church? No, he goes to church. Oh. You miss your dad? I do. Little moments like that. There's a reason that we're meant to be in the world and not of it. I wasn't of the world. I was in it. And in that moment, God gave that young man a need for his dad, his church-attending dad. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we speak because we believe. On behalf of Randy and AFR, this is Todd Herman on A Disciple's View.